in control, and we thank you that you cannot fail. God, there's one thing that you cannot do, and that is fail. And so, Lord, we pray that you minister to your people today, God, as we have this message being spoke. God, minister to our hearts in Jesus' name. We all said amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to see everybody here, and we're going to continue our series on the Forgotten Harvest. Today, last week, if you remember, our youth pastor, Rev. Jake, ministered a great job, did a great job. Didn't he do a great job on the Word last week? And it was an amazing time in the Lord. And so today, we're going to continue the harvest. You know, there's one thing that I refuse to believe is that it's God's will for us to have empty seats. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Pastor, it's not always about the numbers. I hear other churches saying that, and that's because they're satisfied with running 10, 15 people. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's God's will. Let me say this to you. If God wasn't concerned about numbers, why did he put a whole book in the Bible called Numbers? There's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. If God wasn't worried about it, why did it say Jesus fed 5,000 people? And then he went on and fed 4,000 people. And it was 120. These are numbers, are they not? And so numbers aren't important to God. Don't ever say numbers aren't important to God. How about if you go to work and you don't make no money? Don't say numbers aren't important. It's not important how much money I made today. Well, yes, it is. Because if you don't make any money, you're not going to pay no bills. Come on, somebody. Or if you worked at a job and you worked all week long and then your paycheck came back zero. Well, it's about the quality of time that I put in this week. It's not how much money I made. No, it's, you know what I mean? And so numbers are important to God. Why? Not to put a notch in our belt to say, wow, look how many people is coming here at Gateway. But you know why it's important to God? And so that way we know that there are souls being saved that are being pulled out of the grasp of hell and now able to go to heaven, okay? And so it's why do we want a lot of people here? Why? Because we want to make sure that, you know, we want to get people off the wrong road, off of the wide road, right, that leads to destruction, and we want to get them on the narrow road, all right? And not only that, the more people we get in here, the more people we're able to equip, right? Somebody shout equip, and then send them out to be a radical demonstration of God's love. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want to talk to you. The title of today's message is called There's Still Room. There's Still Room. And yesterday, God just spoke to my heart yesterday. We went out to eat breakfast, and it was a large group of us, and some other people were calling on the phone saying I wanted to come as well. And there were like three or four seats. And I said to the person that was on the phone, I said, tell them that there's still room. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, absolutely, there's still room. And there's room in the King's house. And so what the scripture that God brought me to was in Luke chapter 14. And Jesus shared this parable of a man that had a great supper. Now you see, back then in these times, whenever they would have these gatherings and these suppers, they would let everybody know days ahead of time. But the actual day, nobody knew the actual day until the day of, and they would send out messengers. See, they didn't have Instagram back then and save the date and all this other stuff. They had to actually go out and compel them to come. They actually had to tell people what was happening and when it was happening. And so in Luke chapter 14, there was this great feast. Now watch this, follow me. I'm in Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Are you there? If you're not there, just follow me anyway, all right? Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said, blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said this, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many people. How many people did he invite? Many. Not just a few, but many. And sent his servant at supper time, at the appointed time, you got to follow this, to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Come now, for all things are now ready. Verse 18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. Look at somebody and say, don't make any more excuses. Now listen to this. This may sound a little familiar. But with one accord, they began to make excuses. I have bought a piece of ground. I must go see it. And I ask that you have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Another said, I have gotten married. Therefore, I cannot be excused. I cannot come as well. And so let me put it in today's terms. I've got to go to work, so I can't come to church. Or I've got to fold clothes, and I can't come to church. Or I've got family over, and I can't come to church. I just got married. Dominic and Taylor's here this morning. Praise the Lord. I think they just got married, right? And so, you know, here are one excuse after another. Here's a young lady over here. Maddie drove an hour and a half in the rain by herself. Her husband went on a work trip with her children. Are you gathering this? And I'm sure that you passed at least a few churches on the way here. I'm sure you did. An hour and a half away. And so when we are invited out, we hear of different things and we give one excuse after another. And don't excuses, they sound so justified, don't they? Now, I know none of us in here ever make excuses. Look at somebody and say, you've never made an excuse before, right? And so the master of the feast got angry. He got mad. Are you listening to this? He literally, it says that he really got mad, okay? One by one, excuse after excuse, why they can't, I can't make it to church. My toe hurts, my belly hurts, I gotta go to work, I'm this, I'm that, I can't come, it's too far, it's raining out, it's cold out. Are you still with me? Then the master of the house got angry and said to his servant, go out quickly. He sent them back out into the streets, into the lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor. Bring in the maimed. Bring in the ones that nobody else wants. Bring in the lame. Bring in the blind. Bring them in. Bring in the ones that don't smell good. Bring in the ones that don't have your last name. Bring in the ones that don't look good. Don't drive what you're driving. Don't dress like you're dressed. Are you hearing this so far? He said, go out. And he didn't say take your time. He said, go out quickly because it's time. We talk about the coming of the Lord, don't we? We talk about the great big supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we talk about the rapture, and we talk about that life is short. And so that's what was happening at this time. This was the great feast. This was the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what he was inviting people. He said, go out quickly and tell them to come in. Get in the ones that nobody else wants. Get in everybody. Go to the street, go into the streets, go into the gutters, go everywhere. Get the ones that don't look like you. Get the ones that don't smell good, whatever. Bring them in. Nobody else wants them. If the ones that were invited don't want to come, bring everybody. Get everybody else in here. And then when they came, he said that they're here now. And you know what they said? Look at this. Look in verse 22. Master, it is done as you commanded, but there's still room. There's still room. Then the master said, go out again into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come that my house may be filled. God wants his house to be filled. It's God's will for his house to be filled. Why? Because, again, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many people find it narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. That's why God sent his only son. God didn't send his son Jesus Christ to die upon a cross to get beaten just so that way, so we could just have a good life here on the earth. You see, the reason why, and this is what we got to be reminded of, because as Christians, sometimes we are Christians for so long that we forget about what Jesus did upon the cross and why he did what he did. We forget that Jesus, that he stood before Pilate, and I was just reading this the other day. It was in John chapter 15, 16, and 17, and he stood before Pilate. He was beaten. We don't even hear this anymore. We don't even think about what Jesus Christ did. We don't think about the suffering. And he stood there before Pilate after he got beaten, after he was accused, after he was turned in by Judas, And he stands before them, and even the Roman leader couldn't find any fault in him. He said, your people want to crucify you. What is truth? He said to Jesus. He said, are you a king? He says, you have rightly said so. And so here is Jesus standing before this man and getting beaten. He dies upon the cross for our sin. He took our place. And we forget that we have no righteousness in us. Just because we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, we have accepted his son. Now we've become the righteousness of God. Now because of that, he has torn down the middle wall of separation, and now we have access to the Father. How? Through Jesus Christ. Are you still following me? And we forget that. We forget that because we forget that if Jesus Christ saved us from a road of destruction, that many others are on that same road that need to have eternal life. Are you still with me? Look at somebody and say, no more excuses. Come on, no more excuses. You know, God filled us with his Holy Spirit so that way we could be a witness for him. In Jerusalem, in Judea, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. In Judea. Everybody say Judea. Say Samaria. And the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, Jerusalem is our family. Those are people that are living with us. Those are people that live among us, in your house. We talked about that a few weeks ago. The family. The harvest of the family. And then you have Judea. Those are the people that are within our reach. Those are the people that are still close to us, that are not really our family, but they're still kind of within reach. And then you have Samaria. Samaria, he was saying, those are the ones that don't have your last name, that don't live in the same town you live in, they're not even in the same culture as you, or they don't look like you. These are the ones that are a little bit different, okay? And then he said, the uttermost parts of the earth, those are missions. When we think of harvest, the first thing we think of is, you know, going into the depths of other countries. And absolutely, this is 100% true as well about missions. And people, mission trips are important. Missionaries are important. We need to support missionaries. We need to pray for them. We need to fund them financially. We need these things. But there is a harvest right here. And I want to talk to you about the harvest that's right here in Maryland. Are you with me? And so, somebody shout, there's still room. There's still room. And so, I want you to turn now to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to show you the secret about how the Holy Spirit can continue to flow in your life. Okay, you ready? So, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor now is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And he said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't just gather a few, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it out into vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought her the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now stop right there. Put yourself in this situation. Put yourself in this moment. Here is a woman who is a widow. Her husband he served as a prophet, as an assistant to Elisha. Now she's in financial hardship. Now she's in a place where she is broke. She has nowhere to turn. Listen to this. She's broke financially. She is not doing well at all. She's starving. She's probably hungry. She's back on all of her payments. Her car's about to be repossessed. Everything's being taken from her. Now they want to come and take her two sons. Let me ask you a question. What do you think her attitude was like? Think about this for a minute. Do you really think that maybe she was really happy-go-lucky at this moment? Oh, hello. They're coming. Not unless she was high or something like that. I don't know. Are you still with me? Not unless she was heavily medicated. She was upset. She was hurt. She was frustrated. Come on, put yourself into this situation for a minute. Think about it. She was financially in a bad place. Everything was against her. She was probably bitter. She's like, where is God now? Where are the prophecies now? How come God's not doing miracles now? How come he raised the dead? I've heard of stories about splitting the Red Sea, manna from heaven. Okay, where is God now? She was bitter. She was mad. God worked, miracles in everybody else's life. How come, my husband's dead. Her source is now gone. And so now she's like, what am I supposed to do? And so Elisha said this to her, what do you want me to do? What do you have in the house? And in fact, the Amplified Version said, what do you have of any value in the house? Instantly she said, I don't have really too much, but only this little jar of oil. All I've got is this little jar of oil. And to her, she's like, basically, what am I supposed to do with this? What does this mean? I have a little bit left. There's something still a little bit inside my house. But what do you want me to do with this? Now watch this. He said, go tell your sons. He said, go borrow vessels. Not just a few, but many. And go to your neighbors. Listen to this. Get out of your house and go to your neighbors. And go borrow many vessels. Then when you come in, begin to pour into the empty vessels. Now track this for a minute. I want you to follow this moment. Listen to this. He said, get out of the house. You see, a lot of us are happy with staying in the house and just having a Holy Ghost party, because the oil always represents Holy Ghost. Now track me for a minute. A lot of us in the church today, we're happy with staying in the house, and we have our Holy Spirit meetings, and we pray, and we speak in tongues, and we have these great services. But you see, it's more than that, because we have to get equipped in the house. But the only way that they were able to go get the vessels was they had to do what? Come on, help me out. They had to go outside of the house. Are you hearing this? They had to go out. I'm talking about the harvest. They had to go outside of the house. Now watch this. Let's look at it from the son's point of view for a minute. How do you think they felt at this moment? How do you think they felt toward this man of God? Wait a minute. Pastor, we need money. You coming over here and you telling us to go out and do something and go get jars? What is that? We need some money, man. We need food. They're about to take me into slavery. They're going to put me in slavery, maybe. They're going to put me somewhere. They're trying to take our house. And you want me to do what? And this is what God was trying. I want you to think about this for a minute. Here was a woman who was in a financial problem. She was in an impossible situation. You might be in an impossible situation. Your family might be going through a lot of struggle, a lot of pain, and a lot of turmoil. You may be going through a lot right now. And then now the sons are asked to do something more. You know what God was trying to get them to do? Get outside of themselves. Listen to this. We are so consumed with what's going on in our lives that we don't even want to think about anybody else. All we think about is, what can God do for me? How can God bless me? How can God heal me? And yes, he wants to do that. And he needs to do these things and provide. And it's God's will that he would provide for us. And it's God's will that he would restore us and bring healing into our lives. But sometimes we got to learn how to live outside of ourselves. We get so self-consumed that all we see is our problem, that all we see is the lack, all we see is the pain, all we see is our situation. And that's all we want to do, is talk about the past and talk about our hurt and talk about our current situation. And we never go and minister to anybody else. Are you catching this? We got to learn how to live outside of ourselves. There are too many Christians in the body of Christ. There are too many people that go to church that never witness to nobody else. Because why? Because they're so consumed with what's going on in their life that they can't even see anybody else's mess, because they're so focused on their own mess. If you remember Monday night, we had an amazing move of God here. Did we not? Who was here Monday night and helped serve? One of you. Great. That's good. And so Monday night, we were Many were here, were able to come and help serve. The atmosphere in the house was amazing. Afterward, my wife gave a solo. She sang afterwards. We had a little dance party. We had a good moment. It was a great atmosphere. The faith was high. Right? Do you remember that? There was a lot of unity. Do you know why? Because for an hour and a half, for 2 hours, we didn't focus on ourselves. We focused on ministering to others. We focused on God save these people. God heal these families. God restore these homes. And you know what you did? You gave of yourself. You gave your time, your finances. You gave of the Spirit of God inside of you. You gave your love. And because of that, it made you come alive spiritually. It made your faith come alive. It restored your hope. For about 2 hours, your problems didn't exist anymore. Come on, somebody. For about 2 hours of your time, now all of a sudden, now your problems kind of went away for a minute. Because why? Because you were living outside of yourself. Is this making sense to anybody? Learning how to live outside of yourself, learning how to live, to not focus. I'm not saying that the problem in your life is not a big deal. It is. But what I have learned, that when I'm in a situation, if I learn how to sow seeds of love and sow seeds of grace and these things, if I learn how to sow into other people's lives while I'm going through it, God will provide in my life. Because as the story goes, these boys went out and they began to gather many vessels. They went out, they left the house, and they began to get these vessels. Now, I want to kind of put that along with us. God has called, we are vessels, are we not? Look at this for a minute. Scripture says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. What's the treasure? God. Who's the earthen vessel? Us. Are you still with me? We're the earthen vessel. We are the vessels. And if you look around here, God has made us all different and all unique. Look at all the vessels that we have in here this morning, right? And so when these boys, they went out and they began to get all these vessels. But these vessels had to have one qualification. And what was that? They had to be what? Empty. They had to be empty. And so they went out and gathered all these empty vessels. You know what begins to happen? Instead of us bringing in, and I'm okay with people visiting other churches. But you know what? How most churches grow today is because of transfer growth. Transfer growth. Oh, they don't like this church over here, so they're going to go to this church over here. Or because they've been here long enough, now they're moving over here to another church. And that's fine. And that's okay with transfer growth. But real growth is, when was the last time that we had somebody who have never accepted Christ? And I want us to think for a minute. I'm thinking, and when was the last time that Gateway Church had a real conversion here on a Sunday morning? When was the last time that we actually had somebody that has been unchurched, who's been maybe not in church for maybe 15 years, they've really gotten born again right here? When was the last time that really happened? Can't remember. I'm trying to give us some. I understand, I appreciate the statistics Rev Jake gave last week, but I want to give a statistic here. When was the last time that somebody really genuinely got born again right here in this church? When was the last time somebody got water baptized because they got for real saved and not rebaptized? And it's okay to get rebaptized. I'm just asking some questions. Look at somebody and say, there's still room. There's room. Are you catching this? This is good, ain't it? And so they began to get all these vessels in the house. They shut the door. And now they took the oil that they had in there and they began to pour it. They began to pour it. And I could just see their faith begin to grow in this moment. Ma, here's another vessel. They pour. That vessel's full. They set that one aside. Here's it. Bring me another one, son. Well, here, Ma, here, take this one. They're pouring. And as she's pouring, I could see her faith begin to grow. I can even see their sons now. They're like, wow, this is really happening. Look at what's going on. And now they're in the, listen to this, they're in the middle of this moment, and there's, I can almost think, I'm just using my imagination, and the brothers can look at each other and say, man, we should have got more vessels. Because look, there's only a few more left. And then all of a sudden, the mother turned to her son and said, bring me another one. And guess what happened? There were no more vessels. The Bible says that the oil, say it, stopped. The oil stopped flowing. Whenever we see the oil in the Bible, it always refers to Holy Spirit. And so could it be that Holy Spirit stops moving in a congregation when the empty vessel stops? When the whole house is full, does the oil stop flowing? Okay, we're all full. We're all full of Christ, and we've got all God, and all we are is big fat church babies. And I mean that, I mean spiritually. Are you following me? Now we're just spiritually full. We're spiritually full. We got all the oil of God. We got all the Holy Ghost in us. And all we do is just we're just doing good to keep ourselves saved. And all of a sudden the church begins to dry up. We're not feeling the Spirit of God like we used to. We're not having joy like the joy is stopping, the joy of salvation. Maybe you feel numb spiritually. And so here's the thing. When was the last time that you poured out? You see, we're so full of ourselves that there's no more room for God to pour in. And so when the empty vessel stopped, the oil of God, the oil stopped. And so the way I look at that as evangelism. I look at that as outreach. And I look at that as witnessing. And it's like, you know, when we have more empty vessels that come into the church, the oil of God will continue to flow. Because now when we come to church, we're not so focused on what can God do for me? How can God bless my family? How can God heal me? How can God set me? And we need these things. We need these questions answered in our life. But you know what begins to happen? The oil of God, you automatically get delivered when you begin to give of yourself. Healing automatically happens. Your marriage automatically gets restored when you go visit another family that's going through turmoil. Your finances automatically get restored when you begin to give of yourself. I'm a firm believer that if God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. If God knows you, you can be faithful over what He puts in your hands. For many years, I've prayed, God, forgive us for the visitors that have come through our doors and that we have allowed to slip through the cracks because we have lacked our follow-up. We have lacked going after them and ministering to them. It takes work to go after the harvest. That's when Jesus said that he looked at Israel and he wept over them and he said they are like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, he said this, he said the harvest is plentiful but the laborers are so few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. That's why we're here this morning, to get equipped to be a radical demonstration of God's love. We've been awakened, we've been equipped. God wants us to be that. Now it's the sending part. Now it's the going out of getting the empty vessels. Because you want to see the oil of God flow in your home? Give of yourself. You want to see the Holy Spirit flow in your life? Learn to live outside of yourself. Don't be so consumed with and give excuses. Do you remember at the very beginning, I talked about the parable of the Great Supper, and one by one they began to make excuses? I can tell you this, they never experienced the fullness of God because of their excuses. They never experienced the oil of God because of their excuses. And you may have an excuse. You may have a real legitimate thing going on in your life. But what would happen if we begin to live outside of ourselves, lay aside our excuses, lay aside our time, lay aside our agenda, and say, God, you know what? I want to live a life completely devoted to you. What would your family look like? What would your spiritual life look like? What would your walk with God look like? What would your children look like? What would your parents look like? What would your schools look like? What would our work look like? What would things look like? What would our church look like if we begin to say, God, I want to live outside of myself? You know, earlier this year, I bought these invite cards. And today, I want to pass these out to you. I've got a lot of invite cards here. And so today, what this is going to look like today is I want us to begin to think about the harvest. I want us to begin to think about that. Going out. You know, a lot of our families in here are self-employed and been self-employed for a long time. Some of our families in here today are used to walking up to a door, knocking on the door to a complete stranger and say, hello, are there any type of, you know, we sell home improvements or different things like that. And then before you know it, they're working out there. Before you know it, they've gained employment. There are some of you that maybe didn't have a job, and then all of a sudden now you're out looking for work. You're sending out resumes, or you're calling and you're filling out job applications. And can I say this? Nothing will ever happen if you don't get out of yourself. You can't sulk in the fact that maybe you lost a job or a contract back out, or come on, that's all happened to many of us in here, hasn't it? It's all happened. Many of us has maybe lost a job, or didn't get paid on a job. Or do you sit back and say, oh man, I'm just going to give up. This is just too much. I'm not going to make it. Or do you get back up and you go back out again and you brush yourself off and keep moving forward? You see, life is going to send us curveballs. It's going to have potholes. It's going to have a lot of unexpected turns. But it's how you respond to these moments. When you get outside of yourself, and when we begin to live outside of ourselves and learn how to serve, and learn to say, you know what, my life is not my own, I belong to God. And when we begin to think like that, things begin to happen in your life. You come alive spiritually. Let me ask you a question. This is a rhetorical question. That means that you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this for a minute. When was the last time that you met somebody that you did not know, you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and you prayed with them? When was the last time that really happened? Think about these things for a minute. When was the last time that you actually encouraged somebody else? Not a friend, but maybe you encouraged somebody else that God just put in your path. When was the last time that you prayed with somebody else and helped them out? When was the last time you helped somebody else's dream come true? When was the last time that you fulfilled a financial need in somebody else's life? Come on. When was the last time that we lived outside of ourselves? I'm trying to teach us. This is what Jesus did with his disciples. He taught them. He said, listen, live outside of yourself. Your life is not your own. You belong to God. And so today is a great commission day. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus was some of his last words while he was with his disciples. And he said this to them. He said, go, make disciples of all nations. He was saying, it's okay, witness to your family, witness to people outside of your family, but baptize of all nations. And he said, go teach them the same thing that I've taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go teach them. Go make disciples. That's what God is saying to us today. Go make disciples. Change the idea of coming to church. Stop coming to church and start being the church. Start being God's hands and feet. Start being his hands extended. Jesus said this. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you gave me food. You gave me clothing. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I was, you took care of me. And they were like, Jesus, when did we ever see you like this? He said, when you did it unto the least of these. We had 100 families come here during Thanksgiving, during an outreach. We have an opportunity to now begin to go after them. Let's buy some vans. I want to pray for a van ministry. Pray for a leader of that, for van drivers. With at least van drivers that have less than 10 points on their license. Hopefully that qualifies a lot of us in here. Somebody that would say, you know what, I'll leave early on a Sunday morning. I'll go pick up 3 or 4 families. I'll go find them in Glen Burnie. You know, I'll be a part of that because I want to see our church grow. And again, the reason why we want to see that, we want to see the oil of God continue to flow. Who wants to see the oil of God flow in this church? Come on. Who wants the oil of God to flow in your family, to flow in your home, and to flow in your hearts? Who would take 10 of these today and say, Pastor, I want to make a difference. I want to invite people out. I want to tell them about Jesus. Who would be intentional today when you go out to eat and not just invite them out, but, hey, what's your name? Can I pray with you? Is there anything? It's so simple, guys, that you can say, guys, you can say, hey, what's your name? Yeah, my name is Becky. And, okay, Becky, is there anything I can pray with you about? Well, yeah, my kids this or this, that. Or I need to, you know, financially, especially with Christmas right now. Families are up against the wall and, you know, their kids is asking for the new PlayStation and all this other stuff. And it's like, and there are moms right now and dads struggling to say, how am I going to provide that? What am I going to do? You have an opportunity today to tell them about Jesus Christ, that there's hope, that you don't have to live this life alone. And you know what will happen to you spiritually? You begin to come alive. And then after you're done with that prayer, you give this to them. How many times have you invited people to church? Oh, man, I don't. Here, give me your number. Let me text you real quick. I don't have a card on me. This right here has all of our information on it, on how to get to our church and how to get to one of our services. And so today, I want every one of us in here to take 10 of these and make it a goal today that you're gonna find some people, invite them out to church. Come on, amen. And maybe take it a step further. Get their name, get their number. Maybe you can follow up with them later on during the week and invite them out to the house of God. Maybe there are some friends, some family members that hasn't even been here in a while. Come on, look around. You can look around the room and say, man, where's so-and-so been? Well, God is saying, you know, we could say the church is like, man, so we need to do something. Okay, call them, go get them, go visit them. Go minister to them, be God's hands and feet. Go out, get the empty vessels. Minister to them, bring them back. Amen? So at this time, I'm going to, Maddie, help me out here. And Stan, can you help her out as well? Get those in packs of 10. I want to give those to everybody. I want to pray for them too. Packs of 10. It's going to be good. Pastor, I've never done nothing like this before. Well, sometimes you got to do things that you've never done in order to go somewhere where you've never gone. We've got to do something different if we want something different. Today, we're going to learn how to live outside of ourselves, outside of our problems. And again, it doesn't mean that you don't have problems. It doesn't mean that I don't think that your problems are important. They're absolutely important. But today I'm asking you, would you live outside of your problem for a minute? And be somebody's, be that promise to somebody else today. Be that hope to somebody else. And say, God, you know what? God, work through me. Let's all stand to our feet. Jake, can you play something, please? Thank you. Come on, just begin to pray. Begin to worship the Lord just for a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, just for who you are and what you're doing in our life. And I pray, God, over this group today, that we would be a people, God, that would go after you, go after the lost. That we would be your hands and feet. That we would start to live outside of ourselves. I pray, God, that we would stop with the excuses. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So God, raise me up to be a laborer. Raise me up, God, to be your witness, to be your hands and feet, to share the love of God with a lost and dying world. Help me, God, to be your evangelist. I don't need to know a whole lot of scripture, God. All I need to know is that I'm saved and that, God, you have changed my life and that through you, things can be different. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, we commission these today. Come on, raise your hands all over this place. God, I commission, Lord. Breathe fresh upon them today, Holy Ghost. God, breathe fresh upon us to be your voice, to be Jesus Christ in the flesh, that we would be, maybe we're going to be the only God that somebody would see.
God, I pray that you would anoint us today, that we, God, you may use us, Lord, to redirect somebody, because maybe you're going to put us in path of somebody today who was even contemplating suicide or divorce. God, you're going to save a life today. I believe that, God, with all of my heart. I believe that, God, you're going to use us. Come on. Come on, just begin to pray for yourself. God, use me. God, in spite of my shortcomings, use me, God. In spite of, God, the areas of my life, God, that need help worked on. Use me, God, for your glory. Here am I. Send me. God, I don't feel qualified. I feel uneducated, but God, you are enough. You equip me to be your witness. In Jesus' name, everybody look up just for a moment. You know, you can feel intimidated and say, I don't know enough scripture. Or I don't know enough about the Lord. Listen, if God saved you, if he's healed you, if he's done anything in your life, you are a living testimony. You are the scripture alive in you. I know this. You know that with God, nothing is impossible. I know you know that scripture. Many of us have it on our wrist with a wristband. We've been living by the scripture. So you know what you can say? You can meet somebody and say, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but with God, nothing will be impossible. You can speak life over them. You begin to speak to them, say, you know what? God's plans for you are good. They're not evil. You don't have to give them a scripture address. You can begin to speak just the word of God over their life. Say, you know what? God's got a great big plan for you. It's really good. It's not evil. God doesn't give up on you. God still has a plan for your life. What you're going through is not impossible. Speak life over them. The same thing that people have spoken to your life, begin to speak that out. Because guess what? You know why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea? Because nothing flows through it, and everything in the Dead Sea is dead. All it does is receive and doesn't give. There are many Christians today that all we do is receive, but we never give out. Learn how to give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your treasure. Give your talent. Those are the three things that God wants you to give. Your talent, your treasure, and your time. Your treasure is your money. Give up your money. Give up your finances. Tithe. Give unto the Lord. Help somebody else. If you think your waitress is going through a time, give them more. Bless them. Give them something. Blow their mind. Even if they did a bad job and everything came out cold, here's 100. God bless you. Maybe they're going through something you don't know about. We had a waitress yesterday. She broke down and cried at the table. Kind of added a little bit of pressure on her. But you know what we did? We apologized. We grabbed her by the hands, prayed for her, blessed her financially. Blew her mind. She's in college. Angelica wants to be a nurse. At the turning point. Here. Did you pray with her too? That'd be good. So you can make a difference in somebody's life. Give up your talent. There is talent in this room that is amazing. There are preachers in this room. There are songwriters. There are preachers. There are pastors. There are worship leaders. There are so much talent in this room. Don't waste your talent. There are singers. Absolutely, honey. You're a great singer. There are so much talent in this room. Use your talent for the Lord. Don't waste your talent. Time. Man, you want to test somebody's commitment? Mess with their time. Mess with their schedule. Give your time. What are you spending all your time on? You know, by the way, I got a new phone. Yes, I've stepped up. Yes, thank you. And there's this thing It's crazy. My phone tells me where I'm spending most of my time. Here it is. My screen time, 21 minutes. It's telling me where I'm spending my time at. If you go on Instagram, it'll show you how much time you spend on your phone. That will alarm most of us in here. That'll begin to blow your mind. How much time, where are you spending your time at? How much time do you spend in front of the TV? How much time do you spend doing nothing? Give your time. So, are we ready to pass these out? Perfect. This is going to be good. We've never done this before. Listen, I refuse. Go ahead, pass those out. Yeah. I refuse to just accept the fact that we have empty seats. How many is going to come in agreement with that this morning? Come on. How many come in agreement that I'm not going to just accept the fact that we're not going to grow? And in fact, in 2020, it's going to be a season of growth. And I'm declaring this and prophesying over this right now. On December 29th, we're having our vision service, Sunday morning. The title of that service is called Get Ready, Get Set, and Let's Grow. It's time to grow. We will absolutely grow spiritually through things like Gateway School of Ministry that we're starting at the end of March. That'll be a 9-month program for those that are serving in ministry. It's a requirement for those that serve in ministry. You serve anywhere in this church, you have to be in the Gateway School of Ministry. Absolutely, 100%. Why? Because we need to be equipped for the calling of God that's upon our lives. But this year is going to be a year of sending, a year of growth, a year of multiplication. Come on, somebody. Amen. I need somebody to have some faith with me this morning that this could be a year of multiplication, that the prodigal sons are coming back home again, that the lost is coming back into this house. Come on. That many people will be transformed and impacted for the kingdom of God. How many believe that with me this morning? Come on, I need somebody to have some faith. Listen, there are some family members that maybe you have given up on. I want you to call them again. Go to their house. Minister. Encourage them. Invite them out. Go invite yourself over. Sit down with them. Pray with them. Everything that you do, be intentional about the kingdom of God. There's a difference between talking about church and talking about God. Talk to them about God. Then you invite them out to the church. Does this make sense? This is so important. Again, not to make Gateway's name great, but to make the name of Jesus great. Come on. Right now, let's just give this to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we anoint and we give all these invite cards. God, all these invite cards. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint every invite card. Come on, pray over these cards. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, there is lost souls connected to every invite card. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we would not just throw these into our car and just forget about them. But God, that we'd be intentional today to give these out. Invite people out to the church. But more than that, God, to be your voice to this world. To be your hands and feet to this world. To be encouragement, Lord. To speak peace. To help bring hope into people's lives. I believe that you're going to reroute people today, bring them into the kingdom of God, and rescue them from the kingdom of darkness. God, I thank you, Lord. Anoint me. Anoint us, God, to be your evangelist. Come on, pray. God, anoint me. Here am I. Send me into the field. Send me into the harvest. Let me be. I'll be a laborer. God, from this point on, I'll no longer make excuses as to why I can't do it. God, from this day forward, forgive me, God, of my excuses. Forgive me, God, for time and time again when you ask of me that I give excuses. Today, God, I want to devote myself to you in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody shout.